Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we are talking about this beautiful persona of His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, the rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And truly, what a beautiful persona is this persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, one of the things that is really apparent in the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is this idea of trust and trustworthiness and keeping your promises and fulfilling your pledges, right? So we have seen that Imam Ali alayhi salam, from the time when he was a youth, you have many examples throughout his life which exemplify and manifest this idea of trustworthiness and of being a person who is trustworthy and trustable. What's really amazing is that, sure, you know, one's friends, you know, will always, or for the most part at least, consider you to be trustworthy. But what's really amazing is if your enemies consider you to be trustworthy. And Imam Ali alayhi salam is such a magnificent persona that even the enemies admitted to the trustworthiness, the honesty, and the trustability of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And really, this is not that much of a surprise. We find that during the era of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, even then, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and his holy household was considered to be trustworthy by the pagan Arabs of that time. So many of these Arabs of Makkah, they did not believe in Islam, they did not believe in the Hanafi religion, you know, for example, like Abu Talib alayhi salam, or Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam, or Abdullah alayhi salam, the father of the Holy Prophet. These people believed in the Hanafi monotheistic one God Abrahamic religion, but everybody else didn't believe in this Abrahamic religion. And so in reality, they were pagans, but still they considered the Holy Prophet to be Amin, to be trustworthy, to be trustable, to be honest. And so here, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the living, breathing miracle who manifests the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And so he was very trustable and he was very trustworthy. And so we too, brothers and sisters, you know, we need to become trustworthy. There's unfortunately many times where that's not something that, you know, we do, or sometimes it's something that we lack for whatever reason. It doesn't matter whether or not other people consider us to be trustworthy. That is just one manifestation of the whole issue. The truth of the matter is, are we ourselves trustworthy, right? That's the first fundamental thing that needs to be accomplished. And that is that we must be trustworthy, right? They say, بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ, meaning between us, between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning there's no formality, there's no lies, there's no hiding. Everything is out in the open between us and Allah. So, بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ, are we trustworthy? Do we believe that we are trustworthy? Are we acting and behaving like trustworthy people? If we are, then that becomes manifested in our words, in our actions, in our behaviors. And then, of course, other people will consider us to be trustworthy. But the criterion, you know, and the measure is not whether other people say so. So, for example, on face value, we can look like we're trustworthy, but on the inside, we're actually very untrustworthy. But because on the outside, we look trustworthy, people will call us trustworthy. Now, again, does that mean that because people call us trustworthy that we are? No, of course not. So being trustworthy in our essence, in our core, you know, is something that is incredibly important and is something that was taught to us by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so indeed, a comprehensive lesson regarding trustworthiness brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
Thank you. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ali is not only just to his citizens or his enemies or his family members, he is even concerned about animals. When he started to leave from the house, I don't know, this is the mystery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even the ducklings which were there in the house of Umm Kulsum, given to her as a gift from Imam Hussein, from brother to the sister, even those murghabi, they actually came in front of him, trying to prevent him from going out. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen turns to Umm Kulsum and says, a time will come, you will be busy with grief on me. You might forget them. So I urge you to be careful about their food and their water. And then it moves. It seems that it's not only the animals, but even inanimate things around. Even the door did not open fully, to the extent that the belt that he had around himself got stuck in one of the handles of the door. And Amir al-Mu'mineen tied it again and he said, this is the night when I see all these signs coming. Even the way he talked about Ibn Muljim, when Imam Hassan alayhi salam was sitting in the masjid with his father, with the head of his father on him, in his lap, and he was crying, Amir al-Mu'mineen was going through the state of unconsciousness and gaining consciousness again. At a moment he saw Hassan is crying, he says, oh my son, don't cry. Because I'm being told that when you cry, the malaika are also crying. Have sabr and patience. And then Ibn Muljim comes in. He is brought at that time. Even there, Amir al-Mu'mineen says to Imam Hassan, that look at the eyes of Ibn Muljim. He seems to be in fear and he's afraid. You know, be careful, for he's your prisoner now. And you are responsible to make sure you give him the food and the drink which is required. Whatever you eat, you also give it to him.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
وقتی شخصیت امیرالمومنین رو بشناسی در مقابل او خضوع میکند.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
An-naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdaa al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaa.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Dialogue. I'm your host Mahdi. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was a pure source of wisdom and knowledge. Despite his young age, he showed what divinely gifted knowledge really looks like. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the 10th divinely appointed imam, and he was the 10th divinely appointed successor of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the son of the 9th divinely appointed imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. After Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered with the answers of an expert the most difficult of questions posed to him by the Shia scholars and jurisprudents, the Shia leaders at that time had more faith and certainty now of what they had previously believed, that a divinely appointed imam must have the most knowledge and he must be the most knowledgeable one of his time, regardless of whether he is young or old. And so the knowledge, virtue, and the delving into the sciences of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam astonished the minds and sparked meetings and gatherings in all parts of the Muslim world.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immat al-huda wa masabih al-tuja wa a'lam al-tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام على محل
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
ورحمة الله وبركاته
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we're talking about this very profound dialogue that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam has with one of his companions from the city of Ahwaz. It is a long passage, and we're just taking small pieces and kind of trying to understand and analyze and reflect upon these beautiful statements in this dialogue by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Now, overall, the context and the framework of the dialogue is Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam trying to explain to the representative in Ahwaz the matter between compulsion and free will, and how the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam's stance and the true pure Muhammadan Islam's stance is that the matter is in between the two. It is neither compulsion nor is it free will, but it's something that is in between the two. And so Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he starts to talk about how the first news, the first akhbar, the first tradition, riwaya, that is proved, witnessed, and confirmed by the Holy Quran is the saying of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, where His Eminence says, I leave to you two weighty things, the Book of Allah, Kitabullah, and my household, Itra. And then the Messenger of Allah says, you shall never go astray as long as you keep to both of them. And the two of these shall never separate from one another until they come to me at the pond or the Hawdhi Kawthar, this pond of Kawthar in paradise. So before we go on to the next part, which is connected to this, it's very important to realize that, you know, Imam Hadi alayhi salam in this dialogue has brought up this tradition from the Messenger of Allah, which is known as Hadithul Thaqalain. You know, this two weighty things. And he says that this is a fundamental thing. Sometimes we think that the Quran is enough, right? Hasbuna kitabullah is the very famous statement. The Book of Allah is sufficient for us. It is enough for us. We don't need anyone or anything else. When in reality, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi himself said that I'm leaving you two weighty things, the Book of Allah and my itra, right? Some people say that no, it should be seerah, Kitabullah wa sunnati, right? My sunnah. Well, who are the most complete and perfect manifestations of the seerah and the sunnah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad? Of course, it is the Ahlul Bayt and it is the divinely appointed imams who are these perfect manifestations. Peace and blessings upon every single one of them. So here we find that the Book of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, they will not separate from one another until paradise, and if you keep them both, you will never go astray. So this is the first thing, that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam must be kept along with the Holy Quran in order for it to be a comprehensive and perfect package of the message of Islam. And then Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam brings an evidence from the Holy Quran, because previously he had been, you know, saying that you should refer all the things back to the Holy Quran. And he says, he brings up the verse of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only Allah is your wali, and His Messenger is your wali, and those who believe is your wali, Who? Those who keep up prayers and pay the poor rate while they bow. And so here, of course, this verse of the Holy Quran, unanimously amongst both the Shia and the Ahl al-Sunnah brothers, this verse refers to Imam Ali alayhi salam. So many profound statements in just two sentences of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. This is dialogue. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
In the limelight.
Cutting off UNRWA's funding is thus a serious blow to its humanitarian work in the region and constitutes a death sentence to the besieged refugee population of the Gaza Strip. The weaponization of UNRWA funding for political motives seems to be the new low for the West, showing that there is no end to their moral depravity. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, defunding the sole UN agency that provides a lifeline for some 5.9 million Palestinians, including a besieged refugee population of over 2 million in Gaza, currently facing a genocide, is egregious and aims to liquidate the Palestinian cause. Since the US announced on January 26 that it would suspend its funding for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, other countries including the UK, Canada, Italy, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Finland, Australia, and Germany have followed suit. UNRWA is funded almost entirely by voluntary financial contributions. Of the $1.17 billion made in total pledges to UNRWA in 2022, the largest contributions came from the US and Germany. As a result of these funding suspensions, UNRWA will lose almost 60% of its funding, amid warnings of a rapidly approaching famine due to the Zionist regime's genocidal onslaught on the Gaza Strip. Without the sustained contributions of states and governments, UNRWA cannot continue to carry out its operations, nor provide humanitarian relief to Palestinian refugees in the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. Cutting off UNRWA's funding is, thus, a serious blow to its humanitarian work in the region and constitutes a death sentence to the besieged refugee population of the Gaza Strip. Despite UNRWA's immediate response to the Zionist regime's unsubstantiated allegations, including launching an external investigation into the matter and terminating the contracts of the staff members accused of being involved, the decision to suspend UNRWA funding by its major contributors was nonetheless made. It is no coincidence that the defunding of UNRWA came swiftly after the International Court of Justice, ICJ, had issued its interim ruling recognizing that the risk of genocide by the regime of Israel was plausible. The timing of this defunding campaign, despite the measures taken by UNRWA, can only be understood to be politically motivated as a form of retribution for the ICJ ruling and as a war against the Palestinian people as a whole. Efforts to effectively dismantle UNRWA and end its mandate are not new. For a long time, the Zionist regime has called for the demise of the agency, which was established in 1949 to provide relief and work services to the 750,000 Palestinians who became displaced during the Nakba of 1948. Consistent with official Israeli policy regarding UNRWA, the decision to cut off funding at this critical time is morally depraved. Not only does it amount to collective punishment, but it also defies the order made by the ICJ as well as the obligations of states to prevent genocide. In its provisional measures, the ICJ ordered that the Zionist regime shall take immediate and effective measures to enable the provision of urgently needed basic services and humanitarian assistance to address the adverse conditions of life faced by Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Effectively, this means that cutting off funds from UNRWA, the sole UN agency providing humanitarian support to Palestinians in Gaza, and especially at such a sensitive time, is designed to further contribute to the irreparable damage being inflicted on Palestinians. As the bombardment of Gaza will soon enter its fifth month, genocidal intent has been made very clear by different Israeli regime officials, as was established by the submission made by South Africa and upheld by the ICJ. Instead of immediately suspending financial aid and military assistance to the Zionist regime, putting an end to economic and diplomatic support for a colonial regime responsible for genocide, these Western countries are choosing to suspend the provision of humanitarian aid and the vital services that UNRWA provides to Palestinian refugees. Instead of pushing for accountability, the Western regimes are time and again affirming their unconditional support for the Israeli regime, distracting from the ICJ ruling and preventing the enforcement of the order. In a clear violation of their legal obligation to prevent the genocide, the cutting of UNRWA funding amounts not only to an explicit expression of these countries' complicity in it, but an endorsement of it too. While UNRWA's reliance on voluntary contributions and financial support subjects it to changing political interests and agendas, the latest defunding campaign against it is a war crime against all Palestinians, as it would allow for the destruction of the civil life of Palestinian refugees everywhere. Eliminating UNRWA would leave 5.9 million Palestinian refugees without schooling, healthcare, jobs, and infrastructure projects in the Palestinian refugee camps where UNRWA operates. This would effectively mean the destruction of Palestinian civic life in the region, not just in the Gaza Strip, and all without the need for military action. Amid the unfolding genocide in Gaza, the defunding UNRWA would render the future of Palestinian refugees murkier following the normalization agreements between the Arab states and the fabricated regime of Israel amid the growing threats of liquidation of the Palestinian cause. In addition, the Palestinian refugees registered with UNRWA are protected and regarded as a group entitled to a right of return, as upheld by UN General Assembly Resolution 194. The demise of UNRWA as the only agency concerned with Palestinian refugees would eliminate the last standing commitment towards the just plight of Palestinian refugees and their collective right of return as a group. The weaponization of UNRWA funding for political motives seems to be the new law for the West, showing that there is no end to their moral depravity.
This is A to Z. An Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson, Allah defends a believer's dignity. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We all stand in need of Allah. Without the attention, without the guidance, and without the mercy of Allah, we are totally lost. Who are the ones who get disregarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't get the due attention of Allah? What actions cause such a response and reaction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's turn towards the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, "Anyone who disregards a believer, whether poor or not, Allah disregards him until he ceases his action." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees certain things. When we look at the verses of the Holy Quran and the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, there are certain promises Allah makes to us. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam informs us that Allah has said, "Let anyone who annoys my believing servant announce a war against me, and let anyone who respects my believing servant be safe from my anger." The question is, who would, in the right state of mind, ever want to pick up a fight with the Almighty and would not be willing to stay safe from Allah's anger? Think about it. Every single one of us, we want to be staying safe from Allah's anger, and we want to be in the good books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None can afford to pick up a fight against Allah. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends a believer's dignity. It is such an unfortunate reality that some people curse others. They use curse words, right? They use bad words for other believers. This attitude is strictly prohibited in Islam. Yet, some turn a blind eye to the direct and clear instructions of Islam, and they continue this behavior and this attitude of using bad words and using curse words for other believers. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, said, "Surely cursing, when uttered by the cursor, moves back and forth between him and the person cursed. If it finds any reason to be attached to the victim, it attaches. But if not, the cursor himself becomes worthy of it, and it comes back to him. Therefore, beware of cursing a believer, lest your curse come back to you." Unjustly rebuking other believers is refrained in Islam. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Anyone who rebukes a believer, Allah the Almighty will rebuke him in this world and the hereafter." He also said, "He is cursed Then he repeats, he is cursed, he who attributes unbelief to a believer. And he who attributes unbelief to a believer is like his murderer. One needs to be extra careful when it comes to the rights of other believers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the dignity of a believer. Allah is the shield that protects a believer. If there is a person who wants to attack a believer, they need to know that Allah stands in between their attack and the innocent believer.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
In the limelight.
The United States has either waged wars or fanned the flames of conflict in West Asia over the past decade. In the past 4 months, America's military and political support has paved the way for Israel to prolong its brutal war on the Gaza Strip. There are also growing concerns that the conflict in Gaza could spill over into the entire region. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Site of Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The main Muslim civil rights group in the United States has called on the Biden administration to end the Israeli regime's genocide in Gaza instead of waging war across the entire West Asia region, citing the latest strikes in Iraq and Syria as proof of the total failure of America's foreign policy in the region. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization, urged President Joe Biden on Friday, 2nd of February, to end Israel's genocide in Gaza instead of waging war across the entire West Asia region. The U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, announced that American forces had struck multiple targets in Iraq and Syria on Friday night, 2nd of February. Following CENTCOM's announcement, The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, National Executive Director Nihad Awad said, President Biden should change course to protect both American soldiers and people of the region from more violence. Justice and freedom for the Palestinian people, not more bombs, is what can build a more peaceful future for the entire region. CARE's National Executive Director Nihad Awad added, CARE welcomes a recent declaration by a federal court in California that the Israeli military's months-long attack against defenseless Palestinians in Gaza may amount to genocide. Nihad Awad said the U.S.-based civil rights group had called on Joe Biden to personally condemn the Israeli military and the massacring of Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Civilians are waiting for humanitarian aid to reach them. Nihad Awad further added that CARE had condemned the newly revealed policy of the far-right Israeli regime led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to further implement ethnic cleansing in Gaza by burning unoccupied Palestinian homes from which residents have been forced to flee. Earlier this week, the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, condemned the Biden administration's morally depraved and glaringly inconsistent decision to engage in collective punishment against Palestinians by cutting funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, in response to unsubstantiated allegations made by the Israeli regime. Recently, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, welcomed a preliminary ruling by the International Court of Justice that declares South Africa's charge of genocide against the Israeli government plausible. The International Court of Justice, the ICJ, last month ordered the Israeli regime to try and prevent genocidal acts from being committed by the Israeli military inside Gaza Strip. However, the ICJ stopped short of ordering a ceasefire in Gaza. In December, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, condemned Israel's massacring of at least 70 people in an airstrike on Gaza's Maghazi refugee camp, including murder of several pregnant Palestinian women. Also in December, the U.S.-based civil rights group called for a United Nations investigation regarding Israeli military in Gaza carrying out summary executions of unarmed Palestinian men in front of their family members. The Middle East Monitor has also covered the same story and tells us more. A U.S. federal court has implored the President Joe Biden's administration to reconsider its unflagging support for Israel's genocidal war in Gaza. The court in California made the comment in a ruling in response to a lawsuit that charged President Biden and his senior administration officials with complicity in Israel's genocidal acts in Gaza. Judge Jeffrey White of the U.S. District Court dismissed the lawsuit on jurisdictional grounds on Thursday, 1st of February, claiming that the matter lay outside the jurisdiction of his court. He added, "The court is bound by precedent and the division of our coordinate branches of government to abstain from exercising jurisdiction in this matter." Still, the ruling said it implores defendants to examine the results of their unflagging support of the military siege against the Palestinians of Gaza. The judge explained his decision that the matter lay outside the jurisdiction of his court because the Palestinian groups were asking it to interfere with U.S. foreign policy. Judge Jeffrey White said, "Because any determination to challenge the decision of the executive branch of government on support of Israel is fraught with serious political questions, the claims presented by plaintiffs here lie outside of the court's limited jurisdiction." The court also ruled that Israel's war on Gaza, which began on 7th of October, plausibly amounts to genocide. The judge said, "Yet, as the International Court of Justice has found, it is plausible that Israel's conduct amounts to genocide." The case was brought by Palestinian human rights groups and individual Palestinians against the US President Joe Biden, his Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and his Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Attorneys for the plaintiffs disputed the court's jurisdictional finding, indicating an argument for a potential appeal or request for the case to be reconsidered. Brad Parker, a senior advisor at Defense for Children International Palestine, one of the two organizational plaintiffs in this case, described the court's decision as disappointing. The Intercept quoted him as saying, "We know that U.S. weapons are integral in the genocide that we are documenting as a Palestinian human rights organization in Gaza." Brad Parker added, "It's clear what President Biden's complicity is in the destruction of Palestinian life." Ahmad Abu Ful, a Palestinian attorney at Al-Haq, the second organizational plaintiff, said, "The judge acknowledged that genocide is being committed in Gaza, but that basically what he was saying is just that his hands are tied." Attorneys for the plaintiffs vowed to do everything to end that complicity and ultimately end the genocide in Gaza. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered this story and tells us more. President Joe Biden sears his name in history by becoming the first sitting American president to be sued for complicity in genocide over the United States' abetment in the Israeli regime's ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. The first hearing in the case was held at the federal courthouse in Oakland, California, on Friday, 26th of January. Human rights bodies and Palestinian U.S. citizens are plaintiffs in the lawsuit, which was launched by the Center for Constitutional Rights, a New York-based legal advocacy organization, in mid-November. The Center for Constitutional Rights filed the lawsuit on behalf of Dr. Omar al-Najjar, a physician at Nasser Medical Complex in the city of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza Strip, as well as Palestinian human rights groups, Defense for Children International, Palestine, and Al-Haq. The Israeli regime has been waging war against Gaza since 7th of October, following an operation carried out by the Palestinian territory's resistance groups. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, some 70% of whom are women, children, and adolescents, have been killed in the brutal Israeli war on Gaza. The United States has been providing the war with an all-out military and political support. It has armed the Israeli regime with more than 10,000 tons of military hardware and blocked ratification of all United Nations Security Council resolutions that have called for cessation of hostilities and a ceasefire in Gaza. The lawsuit states, "If the legal responsibility to prevent an unfolding genocide is to mean anything, indeed, if the rule of law is to signify anything, courts must have a role and responsibility to enforce these foundational international law principles. The lives of so many more people are at stake."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Islamia! On the occasion of the 40th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, February 11th, 2019. The decades ahead are your decades, and it is you who should protect your revolution while you are qualified and full of motivation, and move it closer to its great ideal. That is the emergence of a new Islamic civilization and the preparation for the rising of the great son of Wilayat. May our souls be sacrificed for him, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. To take steady steps in the future, we need to develop a good knowledge of the past and learn from the experiences. If this strategy is neglected, lies will replace the truth, and the future will be menaced by unknown threats. The adversaries of the revolution are strongly motivated in their efforts to spread distortions and lies about the past and even the present, exploiting money and all the necessary tools for it. The bandits of thought, creed, and awareness are ample. The truth cannot be heard from the enemy and its troops.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The Islamic Revolution and the establishment that rose from it started from scratch. Firstly, everything was against us. The corrupt regime of Taghut Pahlavi tyranny, which, in addition to its dependence and corruption, tyranny and being coup-based, was the first royal regime in Iran that was brought to power by the foreigners rather than by the force of sword. The government of the United States and some other Western governments, or the extremely chaotic situation inside Iran, and the shameful backwardness in science and technology, politics, spirituality, and any other virtue. Secondly, there was no precedent experience before us, and the path ahead of us had not been walked. Obviously, Marxist uprisings and the like could not represent a role model for a revolution that emerged from the heart of Islamic faith and knowledge. Islamic revolutionaries began without an example and experience, and the combination of a republic and Islam and the means for the formation and progress of it were not achieved except through divine guidance as well as the luminous heart and the great thought of Imam Khomeini. And this marked the first brilliance of the revolution.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Of Jalali Tehran.
Rubashavit Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the World with Reporters.
In response to recent U.S. and U.K. airstrikes against Yemen, the country's armed forces have carried out a naval operation targeting American and British vessels.
The naval forces of the Yemeni army carried out two military operations in the Red Sea, the first targeting an American ship, Star Nasia, and the other targeting a British ship, Morning Tide. Both ships were targeted with appropriate naval